I'm Shadow Stevens. On this episode of Nostalgia Stories, WGN sister station Antenna TV spoke with David Sterry, lead singer and guitarist of Real Life. Listen as we chat with David and talk about Real Life and their hit Send Me an Angel. What sparked your interest in music?
I grew up like everyone grows up, listening to the radio. My parents played the radio, and I guess my parents were war veterans from the Second World War, so they had their favourite songs of that era. And I guess I very clearly remember hearing the Beatles for the first time, a song called She Loves You, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. And I think I must have been about 8 years old and thinking, it's got this bit you can't get out of your head. And that's the song. And I subconsciously thought, hey, that's how a hit song is made. I didn't even know what a hit song was. But that, and then the very next thing that I vividly remember, which relates a lot to the way Real Life sounds, was the very first episode of Doctor Who and hearing that theme song going, what is that sound? Ah, I was just captivated by it. Oh, and also the other sound, I can see myself when I heard them, sitting in my dad's car outside a shop one night, and Good Vibrations came on, and it gets to the part of the theremin. I went, oh, what is that? And apart from that, what a great song. But when the theremin at the very end and the bass part, magic. Then there was the gap of like, then I was into Deep Purple and Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath. And then along came punk, and then along came the new wave, was when all those electronic sounds that I'd heard earlier started coming back into music. And I went, that's the sort of music I want to make. I'm a guitar player, but I want to have the guitar with that synthesizer sound.
How did Real Life form?
Sort of via newspaper ads, actually. A friend of mine, young friend of mine, came banging on my door early one Saturday morning, and he had an ad he'd cut out of that day's paper, and he said, there's a keyboard player looking for a guitar player to write songs. You have to ring this number. And I went, I won't. But I did, and my life changed. And so the guy was Richard, the original keyboard player. So we were going to be songwriters, not a band. We wanted to write songs for other people, but then Richard decided he wanted to turn it into a band. And we did, and that's. And then we eventually got the bass player next. We originally started with our first gigs with a tiny drum machine called a Dr. Rhythm by Roland, which is really tinny, crappy sound. And then we eventually got a drummer. Danny, the original drummer, joined after auditioning, I think, about 50 or 60 drummers. Well, we'd been playing around the pubs, building a following. We were opening for all the big Australian acts at the time. We were opening for Midnight Oil and Rose Tattoo, you know, some really bad acts to open for. In Excess, The Church, Ice House. And we just didn't have a record. We had all the record companies chasing us. We didn't have anything that was obviously going to be a hit single. So we were feeling quite stressed out about that too, by the way, because a lot of bands that had started with us had got their first records out and we hadn't got one, even though we were probably the biggest pulling band in Melbourne at the time for an unrecorded, unreleased band. So we were recording and recording, non-stop writing and recording. Eventually, Richard handed me a cassette in the car on the way to a gig one night, and I heard this da 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 da, and I thought, he's got it, he's done it, he's got his bit, I've got to get my bit now. And I instantly thought of the Send Me an Angel title in there, and then put it on hold to the next day, and got up the next day, and it was finished in about 5 minutes after that.
Yeah. What was it like having the hit single Send Me an Angel?
Very strange, you know, a mixture of fear and, you know, exhilaration. You know, you're terrified, you know. Even to this day, you know, I don't rate myself as much of a rock star in the pantheon of rock stars, but I regard myself as very lucky. And no matter how much, we've been playing and successfully playing for about 3 years, but all of a sudden this fame thing comes along and, you know, it throws a bit of a spanner in the works. All of a sudden the singer gets more attention than the bass player, and there's trouble in the band that the singer wasn't looking for. You know, that's the way the industry focuses. I remember once being on tour here, and back home there was a magazine, a popular music magazine, and they brought out a front cover with me on it and none of the rest of the band, and they wouldn't talk to me for days, as if I had anything to do with it or wanted to be there. So those things changed.
What about your next big single, Catch Me, I'm Falling?
That was actually the third single. The second single was a song called Open Hearted, which completely just stiffed. which I love playing that song. It's in the set to this day. It's one of my favourite songs. But there was also a bit of a backlash in that we weren't an Australian rock and roll band, traditional rock and roll band. And I think the press were ready to get us, and the radio was ready to kind of stick the knife in. And so they stuck that into Open Hearted. And we brought out Catch Me, and it just went straight to number one in Australia. So that sort of shut them up a little bit. But back in the day, you had to have a single. It was a singles market. You had to have at least two, if possible, three on a record. And that was the defining thing. If you didn't have a single, you didn't have a record. Even though some, you know, great bands never really had singles on their albums. You know, for example, Led Zeppelin never released a single. You know, so, but it was the 80s with singles, videos and singles.
Who came up with the video concepts?
We didn't really have an idea, and we had no idea about video, but that was the new thing, and of course we wanted to make a video. There was a couple of guys called the Rich Kids that were rebellious film students in Melbourne, and they'd done a couple of videos that we'd liked, and they had this great retro Mad Max feel about them to a certain extent. And they were basically only video makers so they could finance a film that they were developing. Now, the film that they were developing was called The Ghosts of the Civil Dead, which was set in America. It's about a prison system with Nick Cave in it, I believe. So it was really quite a dark, heavy film that they were financing this for. And there'd also just been some tragic forest fires in and around Melbourne at the time, about 3 or 4 months before that. And they decided they wanted to make a remake of Beauty and the Beast, and would set it, the location would be where the forest fires had been. So we went up to this place called Mount Macedon, and we had it on kind of two sets. And the interesting thing about making the Angel video is that all the people in it, the girl who's riding on the horse, the angel kind of girl, is Angela Howard, who's Roland S. Howard from Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. Sadly, he's passed away. There was a young girl in there as well that you don't get much of a glimpse of, but her name is Deanna, and she's the Deanna from the Nick Cave song, Oh Deanna. The guy who made the wig for the monster on the horse was the guitar player from Ice House, Bob Creshman. The guy on the horse under the wig is Nick Seymour from Crowded House, the bass player. The horse had apparently been in a whole lot of films. And the guy who did makeup won an Oscar for makeup in Braveheart. Real life's career just went downhill after that. But everyone else sort of went on. But yeah, so we made it in a day, and it was, yeah, the video makers did that. And pretty much for every other video, they had a concept. We're too busy being a band writing songs and say, okay, you presented with an idea, and if we like it, we'll go along with it.
And what about the MTV experience?
See, you've also got vested interest in people who've invested in you, record companies and managers. More, you know, they're the ones that are really pushing you to be on there, of course. I've never felt comfortable on TV, but you had to do it. It was just one of those things you have to do. But that was the whole music was changing then. I mean, it was people were spending exorbitant amounts of money on videos, and those shows were really taking off, music TV shows, you know. So you had to be in it, yeah.
What was it like hearing your song on the radio?
Actually, it's better to tell you an embarrassing time, in that I had this crappy old car held together with bubble gum on the bonnet, holding the bonnet down, and on a really hot day, and the song had just been out for a little while, and it was really a thrill hearing yourself on the radio. There's nothing better. You go, ah, it's me. And driving along, pull up this set of lights in my daggy old car, and on the other side of me is a girl in a beautiful girl in a beautiful car listening to the same radio as me, and she's singing away, you know, and I'm going beep beep beep, and she went and just drove off. And another time, not so long ago, actually, not so long ago, looking at me now at 65 years old, I was in the supermarket early one morning, and lo and behold, there wasn't many other people in the supermarket. Lo and behold, Send Me an Angel comes on in the supermarket, and I'm kind of quietly wandering around going, oh, it's me, it's me. And I'm noticing that the staff were all kind of singing along to it, which was, you know, it's great, because they didn't know me from a bar of soap. And I finally get up to the little checkout chick, and she's singing along. And I said, do you like that song? She said, yeah, it's really good. It's old, but it's really good. I said, that's me. And she looked at me like I was a pedophile. And that was it. I learned never to do that again. You know, just leave people alone. Appreciate the moment.
What about your first music video?
Yeah, that was painful.
Was it?
Yeah, I can't. I'm not. I've always never liked my ugly head. You know, it's getting even worse, as a matter of fact. But I look back and go, "Hey, you weren't so bad." But yeah, it was difficult the first time, especially. We had a show in Australia called Countdown that was on every Sunday night. It was kind of like Top of the Pops. That was the first time you ever heard a new song or saw a new video. And pretty much the whole country stopped to watch this show on a Sunday. And I was actually a cab driver as well at the time. That's how I made my money. Real life weren't making any money, but I was in the cab going, "Hey, I'm on TV tonight at 6:30. Have a watch." And they go, "Oh, yeah, sure you are." And pulled into my mum and dad's house, and mum and dad are sitting there eagerly watching. I'm going, "Oh my God, what have I done? What have I done this for? I look stupid." So I still can't.
Thanks for listening. Check out other episodes of Nostalgia Stories at WGNradio.com/antenna TV. Or for video versions of this podcast, go to YouTube.com/antenna TV.